Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the DeFi podcast. Today we have Tom Howard from Macendo, who's a co-founder and chief strategy officer over there. So Tom, could you briefly explain what state channels are and why we need them?
Yeah, sure. And thanks for having me. So state channels essentially are, it's a scalability solution for blockchains. The idea there is that you can create and sign a blockchain transaction, which is a valid transaction, but you don't actually have to submit it to the blockchain yet. So if, say, you and I are sending money between each other, we can sign transactions and continue signing transactions and kind of like hold on to these signed transactions and then submit them to the blockchain later when we want to kind of finalize our balance sheet there. So this principle basically enables this concept of state channels, which is, hey, if we're just going to sign transactions with each other and kind of keep track of it that way, then we can kind of consider this to be a state channel and keep track of the state of our balance sheet with each other before submitting everything to the blockchain. So this kind of allows users to have these transactions without having to wait for the blocks to confirm. And so in the model that I've just talked about, that's kind of like a trusted model, right? Like you and I trust each other. So we're both just saying, hey, we're going to sign these transactions and like we'll submit them later because we know that we're both not going to double spend, right? Mm-hmm. So state channel networks, essentially what they do is they solve that double spending problem through a collateralization process. And it's Ethereum state channels are the ones I'm most familiar with. So it's in that case, you're essentially locking up the money that you're sending or receiving as collateral in a smart contract. And then the smart contract is designed to interact with this state channel. And so this means that you can trustlessly send money on a state channel. And then if there's ever like a dispute, like if you say like, hey, you know, you sent me $5 and I'm like, oh no, I sent you $10. We can both submit our version of the truth. And like every time these transactions are signed, we're both signing it. So one of them has to be right. When you submit it to the blockchain, it all gets settled on the blockchain. So everything happens trustlessly.
Sure. So just to summarize, it's I deposit money to this contract and that's kind of my insurance against in case I do something wrong. And then we assign transactions between each other. And when we decide that we want our money back, we submit those transactions to this smart contract, which acts as a gatekeeper, and we get our money out. And the benefit of it is that we can transact very, very quickly because we're not actually using the blockchain to actually submit transactions, which is typically a slow and expensive process.
Right. On there is... Right. So essentially what we've done there is that if we're both, if everybody's in agreement, then all the transactions just happen instantly. But if there's like a disagreement, then we have to go back to the blockchain and wait for that to resolve on the blockchain.
Sure, sure, sure. And how does Macendo utilize this mechanism to help people send money?
So one of the really cool things about the Ethereum state channels is that... the smart contracts are actually not even deployed when you start using them. There's this new technique called a create two or using this create two, which essentially allows you to use a smart contract before it's actually been deployed on the Ethereum blockchain. And our blockchain architect, Noor Hardy, actually discovered this when they first came out with it. And what this means is that we actually don't need to wait for the Ethereum blockchain in order for our users to send and receive money. So the first time that you actually use the app, the Macendo app, and Macendo is basically a way to use decentralized money in the form of DAI, or which is a US dollar. Mm-hmm. And our users can send money around instantly using our app without having to wait for the block times. And recently there was like this issue where there was a contract that was utilizing a lot of the blockchain resources. And so transactions started getting really expensive and taking too long, like much longer to go through. Using the state channels in Macendo, our users would not have been affected by that because we don't actually need to go to the blockchain until a user like wants to exit the system or there's like a conflict that needs to be resolved.
Sure, that's really cool.
Yeah, so it basically just allows us to make crypto very usable, instant and fast, and like nearly free without having to really worry about the status or state of the Ethereum blockchain.
Sure. And what are some other approaches to payments you've seen in the industry? And how does, say, using Say Channels benefit a user?
Sure. So different approaches to payments. I mean, a lot of crypto has focused on payments using like these volatile assets, like a Bitcoin or Ethereum. And most people in the world, like, they don't want to have to like be a trader to buy a gallon of milk, right? So first of all, we just use a stable cryptocurrency called DAI. And a DAI is worth a US dollar. So that's a big departure. Then the other part is just like how long it takes to make a transaction, right? Like if you're sending Bitcoin and you're trying to stop in at the convenience store and like buy like a Coke, if it takes you 10 minutes for like both of you to agree that the money's been sent, like that's just not going to work for everyone. So using like the scalability solutions like State Channels, and there's a couple of other like scalability solutions, this makes it a lot easier. I would say like the other scalability solutions that I've seen usually sacrifice either like the decentralization or the trustlessness, or they sacrifice the user experience in some way. So State Channels, based on all the ones we looked at that exist so far, were the best solution that we saw.
Sure. And in terms of getting crypto to use in the first place and entering the system, how can we actually make it easier for regular people who are, say, listening to this podcast to acquire it and use it beyond speculative purposes and actually use it for fast international transactions?
Yeah, so that's been a major focus for us at Mosendo. What we're doing is that we've set up a bunch of partnerships all over the world so that no matter who you are or where you're from, when you use the Mosendo app, you can connect your bank account, your credit card, your Alipay, your Apple Pay, whatever it is, you can connect that and get your funds right into the Mosendo app, which is crypto on the back end. And this experience of kind of like being able to connect your money, your fiat money, to your crypto money anywhere in the world very easily, I think is very critical for that.
Of course. It's a really exciting time to witness this technology kind of really play out like this. And why did you choose to solve this problem in particular, especially in the area of payments where there's a lot of traditional competition, but also say crypto native competition?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of first discovered Bitcoin back in like 2012, and the idea of magical internet money was quite appealing. And then over the years, kind of watching it grow and getting more involved in the space over time, it's been 10 years since Bitcoin came out, and we still can't use Bitcoin for like a daily spending currency, right? Like it might be a good investment on like a 3-year time horizon, but as far as like electronic cash goes, it's not very useful. And so this is something that like I just really want to see existing in the world, like a digital native currency that I can spend anywhere and use anywhere. And I didn't see anyone like approaching it in a way that I thought would be successful. So myself and my co-founder were like, all right, well, if nobody's going to do this, then I guess we got to do it because we need to see we need to see it exist, right?
Of course. Make the change that you want to see in the world. And I guess last of all, like if you'd give us a quick rundown of what Mosendo is to the audience here and anything else that we should know about it.
We've spent a lot of time on like making Mosendo very, very usable for the regular folks that, you know, essentially you shouldn't have to have like a technical degree in order to use your money, right? And most of the crypto apps that we've seen so far, like the concept of like a private key and a public key and a seed phrase and gas and transaction fees and all of that, like it's a bit you know, confusing for most people. Most people don't want to like write down like a 12-word seed phrase and like store that somewhere. Like it's kind of scary. Like what if like the paper gets lost or something like that? So we've kind of solved all these problems and we made it just super easy that you just, you know, the money stays on your phone, but we have a couple of different ways to recover it. So you can recover through email or there's what's called a social recovery. Like all of your friends can, you know, kind of help you to recover your funds. So we're just making it super, super easy for everyday people to use cryptocurrency as like true money and not like the complicated, you know, thing that they've experienced about cryptocurrency in the past.
Of course. No, that makes sense. Cool. Thanks a lot for your time today. It was really helpful. And we look forward to seeing Misandro live very soon.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
No worries.